Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. I'm filling in for Pastor Osterwind. He's the happiest place on earth, right? Disneyland. But he will be back soon. And, hopefully this will go well. Just pray for me as I give the word. I just pray that the Lord uses his word and not my words today. And if you get nothing else, at least when we read the scripture, you'll get something from that. And let me just give a quick plug about the VBS. It's very important. Vacation Bible School. We do it, most summers. I've been helping out the last few years with this, and it's a very important ministry for children. Children need to hear the word too. They need to be ministered to, and it's a great opportunity we have as a church to help out. So if you can help in any way, I ask, come, even if it's only one or two out of the 5 days, we can use your help. And it's very important. I was saved through Vacation Bible School in this church, and yes, it does mean something. Children get saved and they can still grow in the Lord. Now, you might think, oh, you got to be in a family that's in the church to be here one day. No, I'm one of those people that came through friends. Kids invite your friends. I came. My family didn't go to church. And here I am today. And I stand before you because Vacation Bible School was one of the tools that led me to the Lord. So just a quick plug. If you can help, you can be a blessing in that. You can help lead someone to the Lord. And who knows where they'll be in 10, 20, 30 years. It could be a great thing. So, okay, if you have your Bible today, go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, last week we had Easter, and Easter is always a great time. Many people in church thinking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he came from the grave, conquered death and sin. And I was thinking, Lord, what should I preach on? What should I preach on the next week after Easter? And I thought about this passage. We're in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word now. And we do ask that you just bless this word, Lord. Help me to speak your words today, not my own thoughts. We just ask that you help each of us to hear what is preached today, to take what we learn from your word, that we apply it into our lives, that we're able to walk with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we are involved in a spiritual battle. Every day we're in a battle. The Christian life is not a passive thing where we get saved and then everything is good. And we never have any more problems. We never struggle with sin. I wish that was the case, but it's not. We struggle all the time. There are different things that we struggle with in our life. And we are commanded here in verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we see a clear command here that we are supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now we have to figure out, well, what does this mean? Well, walk is indicating a continual action. It's something that we do continually. It's not something we do one time. When we come to Christ, we are justified by being saved. That's a one-time event. We're saved. We're in Christ. But this is talking about the process of our sanctification, our growth in Christ. It's a daily task that we must do. So we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And we're talking here about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a great promise that Jesus gave us that he's providing the Comforter for us. The three parts of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior. We have the Spirit dwelling inside of us. And that's something that we have. We have that ability as a Christian to walk in the Spirit. So we have to continually doing this. It's our lifestyle. How do we live each day? You know, we need to walk in the Spirit. So we're commanded to do this. And when we do, it says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, do you struggle with anything? I know I do. I'm sure if we're all honest, we all struggle with something. There is some kind of sin in our life that we all struggle with. Each and every day, we struggle with sin. Maybe it's the same thing over and over. Maybe you have a few different ones that we alternate between. But we are all sinners. Even though that we may know Christ as our Savior, we still struggle with the old way of living. But here he tells us, Paul's writing, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't do it. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I'd say this is a pretty important command. We walk this way in the Spirit, following the Spirit's lead, and then we will not fulfill these lusts of the flesh. And it says in verse 17 a little more about this. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Okay, so these are opposites. They're contrary. This is the battle we're talking about, the spiritual battle. We have to battle and follow the Spirit's leading and not the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust, it's a strong desire that you have. You can actually have a strong desire for good things, right? You know, you could have a strong desire to go to church, to read your Bible. Those are good. But here, when we're talking about the lust of the flesh, it's a strong desire for something that is sinful, something that is not good according to the Word of God. And this flesh refers, it's the old desires we followed when we were unsaved. You know, if you could think back, if you were saved as an early child, but if you were saved a little older, you can think back easy. How did you live before you were saved? What did you live for? What gave you pleasure and joy? You know, it wasn't Christ. It wasn't going to church. It was sinful activities that you were involved in. Some things that brought you pleasure. And they're contrary. They're opposites. And it says that so that you do not do the things that you wish. And that part's a little confusing. From Romans chapter 7, I'm going to read a few verses. Verses 18 and 19 and then 21 through 23. It says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So you might be thinking, well, that's a little confusing. Well, let me just break it down a little bit. Basically, I want to do right, but I wind up sinning. Okay, that's what we're talking about. We have good intentions, but we still have that old fleshly desire that's in us that's fighting to make us sin. You know, we have those desires in us, and we have to battle those every day. We as Christians, yeah, we want to do right. I'm here in church today. You're all here in church today. I'm sure everyone has a goal today. I want to please God. I mean, that seems like a good goal. But you know what? Each one of us, we're going to sin today because we have that old desire that's fighting against our inward spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to do right. We want to do right. But the problem is we don't continually follow him each moment of the day. And as soon as we let our guard down, what do? We're involved in sin. Says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, when we're led by the Spirit, we don't have to worry about the law. The law is there to show us where we fall short of God. You know, but when we're following the Spirit, we'll be fulfilling what God wants us to do. We can't look at the law and say, go down a checklist and say, oh, I'm spiritual because I don't do this and I don't do this. I do this. I do this. I'm pretty good. And you might even say, oh, look at this guy over here. I'm way more spiritual than him. I mean, look at that guy. That's not how we become spiritual, right? We can't compare ourselves to others. We can't even make a checklist and try to check off and say, hey, I got most of this list down. I'm pretty good, right? That's not how we become spiritual. We're spiritual by being led by the Spirit. Hey, spiritual, Spirit. It makes sense, doesn't it? We follow the Spirit's leading. So being led by the Spirit, it's very important to us. You know, and Paul also in 2 Timothy, he compared faithful believers to good soldiers. You know, a spiritual warfare, a good soldier. Well, good soldiers, aren't they following their leader's commands? They're out doing their task, completing it, you know, fighting the good fight all the time. They don't take a break in the middle of the battle and start doing something else. I mean, that would make no sense. He also compared them to athletes. You know, think about athletes that train for the Olympics. These people, I've even seen, you know, documentaries on people in China. They send their kids off to these training camps away from their family when they're young. As soon as they do a somersault when they're like two, oh, they're a gymnast. See ya. And they're gone, right? And these kids, they train their whole life for one goal, is to win that gold medal for their country. You know, and faithful believers, that's the kind of dedication that we need for Christ. You know, we want to win the gold medal for Christ, not for ourselves, for Christ. We should want to live for Him. So being led by the Spirit, I'm thinking, wow, I remember a game I used to play when I was a kid called Follow the Leader. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have played that, right? One person's the leader and they walk around. You got to walk just like them. You know, they fall down, you fall down. Whatever they do, you do what they do, right? Follow the leader. And that's a simple game that children play. But in the Christian life, that's the game that we need to play. Follow the leader. The Holy Spirit is our leader. Follow His leading. What He tells us to do, we need to do it. We need to follow His leading. And it's very important in our lives that we do this. And it takes, you know, a lot of things to do this. We have to follow Him, and it takes a lot of things. We're going to look at some different things here. First things we're going to look at is there's a contrast between the way that we used to live, the unsaved world, and the way that we should live, living in the Spirit. So starting at verse 19, we're going to see the contrast here. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." They're evident. Okay, you can see them, you know, that's not like they're hiding anywhere. These are the works of the flesh. Remember, we talked about the flesh. What is the flesh? This is the old way of living. The way that the unsaved world that don't know Christ as their Savior, the way that they live. We should not be living this way, but He's showing us this is what the works of the flesh are. Remember, there's a battle between the flesh and between the Spirit. So here is what we're battling against each day, the deeds of the flesh. This first group here, there's three different groups that he mentions. The first group has to do with sexual sins. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. So adultery, you know, this is being unfaithful to your spouse. This is a sin. This is what the world, they almost promote this. They call it, oh, it's just an affair, right? You know, and they don't really look down on this like it was looked down on in the ways and days past, because our world is not growing closer to Christ. It's growing further away from Christ, pleasing the flesh. So the first one here, adultery, fornication, you know, this is talking about any type of sexual sin, any type. You know, it includes adultery, but fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, prostitution, any sex outside of marriage, anything that is a sin here, these sexual sins. Now, these are things that the unsaved world promotes. They hold these high. They're good to them. But as Christians, this should not be a part of our life. We have to be careful with how we live our lives in this area. So these sins, also it talks about the next part after fornication is uncleanness. Now, this is actually was a medical term. Okay, sorry, people, if you lose your lunch here. It's for an infected, oozing wound. Okay, yeah, that's the literal definition. That's how they use this. It's pretty nasty. I mean, if you've ever had a wound that was infected and oozing, it's gross, right? Well, this is the way that people live, though. Basically, it's the opposite of anything that's clean. Okay? Lewdness is being unclean. Things that are gross and nasty and wrong, these things keep you from approaching God. Because when you have this uncleanness, this lewdness in your life, or uncleanness, you're not walking with the Lord. You're in sin. You're dirty. You know, your fellowship with the Lord is not right if you're walking this way. And then the next one was lewdness. It's an excess, lack of restraint in any area of your life, especially the sexual area. And it's celebrated in our culture. I mean, think about it. If you've ever watched TV in the last, 10 years, and you probably have seen a lot of this stuff promoted, especially if you tried to ever watch a sitcom. It's almost like, you can't watch those things anymore because every episode pretty much deals with this area, doesn't it? And it promotes it. And people live this way. The music, they promote this, and it talks about all the different ways that this is looked up to in our country. How many different women did this guy have? And that's promoted. People get respect from that, but not in God's eyes. In the world's eyes, yes, but in God's eyes, no, that's wrong. That's a sin. Those are things that we should not be doing. So these ways of sexual areas should not be part of a Christian's life. This is the unsaved world. Does the unsaved world live this way? Yes. Should you expect it? Yes. That's that they're not in God. They don't have the Holy Spirit to follow. That's the way they live. The second area is talking about man-made religions. So after we get there to verse 20, idolatry. Now, in this country, you might think, oh, we don't have problems with idolatry. Because, that's in those other countries. They have little statues, right? And they bow down and worship these statues. Oh, yeah, we do have a problem with idolatry in this country. It's not a statue. A lot of times, it's in your wallet. It's the green, right? The money. A lot of us, we worship our money, our finances. And that can become so important to us. That's really what we worship. We put that above God. Or we could worship other things, recreation, sports, entertainment. There's a lot of different things that we worship, we look up to in the place of God. And we have to think about, are there any idols in my life? Things that I might not say, oh yeah, I put this above God, because I don't think anyone here would say that. But are there times that we become idolatrous by putting things above God, even though we don't say it? Where do we put all our time and money and interest into? Is it in the things of the Lord or is it in other things? Are there things that we desire more than to be here right now, to be under God's preaching? Are there things that you really want and think about where you're not thinking about the Lord? So remember, idolatry is worshiping anything other than God. And we shouldn't have that in our lives. Ten Commandments even tells us that, right? We shouldn't have idols. We should, obviously not the man-made ones, but even the other ones. What do you spend your time on? Think about that. And then the next word after that, idolatry, is sorcery. And you might be thinking, okay, I'm good on this one. I'm not Harry Potter. I don't cast spells, right? And you might think, okay, I'm okay, right? Well, this word sorcery actually is a word we get the word pharmacy from. And this was used with drugs. And, even Christians can get hooked on drugs. You might be thinking, hey, wait a second. I don't do dope and smoke marijuana and all that. But even stuff that comes over the counter, you can get hooked on. Maybe you had a surgery. You have pain medication. There have been people that get hooked on pain pills that you would think, there's no way this person would ever do drugs. But it's something that was actually given to them, and they got hooked on it. So we have to be careful with these drugs. And what this was used for, this was actually used with a lot of false religions. They would use these drugs to alter their mind, and they would think that they're communicating with deities. And this was used in their worship because it put them in a different frame of mind. And there's a lot of drugs out there that alter your mind. And there are people that go around and they see things. They think they're talking to people that aren't there or beings that aren't there. And these are things that should not be part of our lives. Once again, we're looking at the contrast between the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. So the second group, once again, was talking about man-made religions. Now, the third group here are groups of sins that relate to human relationships. Human relationships. We have hatred. Hatred. I've heard once that, you say hate, and I remember, I don't even know where I first heard this, but someone said hate's a strong word, But it is. Hatred. It's your attitude toward others. When you have an attitude toward someone of hate, that's going to lead to contentions. That's going to lead to conflict. You're not going to treat that person in a good way. Because when you hate someone, you want bad stuff to happen to them, right? And that hate, that's the opposite of what Christ wants in our lives. That hate. And you're going to notice a lot of these works of the flesh are opposite of the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So this hate, we should not be in our lives. After hate, we have jealousy. Because hatred leads to contentions. That, and then jealousy, coveting what someone else has. You know, do we look around at what other people have and say, oh, I want that. Why do they got that? I should get that. You know, and even happens at work. Someone gets promoted. I'm better at this job than that guy is. I've been here longer. And we start being jealous of people, you know. But we have to realize God's in control of everything. If it was time for your promotion, you would have got that, you know. God put that person there. You got to just trust. Don't be jealous. We can get jealous of people, and that could cause more contention with people. Then we have outbursts of wrath. Outbursts of wrath. These are sudden, unrestrained expressions of hostility toward others. Often, this happens with little or no provocation or even justification. You ever see someone just blow up out of nowhere? Like, you didn't say anything, all of a sudden, they're yelling at you and screaming. You're like, what in the world? I just said, would you like some butter? You know, it could be anything. And someone, they just blow up. And I've seen this happen at a grocery store. You know, the cashier is trying to work hard, and this person just blows up on the cashier. I'm thinking, they didn't do anything, you know? And just people, they get so, you know, full of rage and anger that, boom, it explodes on people. And maybe that's happened to you. Hopefully you've been on someone else. But those outbursts of anger, these are the works of the flesh. These are wrong. Outbursts of anger. Then we have selfish ambitions. You know, just being selfish. Desiring things just for yourself. Dissensions, heresies, envies. All of these things are animosities toward people or groups. And once again, these things, over time, they fester. They grow. And eventually, this could lead to murder. It could lead to murder. And you might think, oh, I've never murdered anyone, right? What did Jesus say about murder, right? You know, when you think in your mind and you hate, that's what you're committing. We have to be careful with the way that we think. Not just the way that we act, but the way that we think is also important. So all of these things, murders. And then we have drunkenness and revelries. You know, drunkenness. You guys know what drunkenness is, right? Getting drunk, revelries, being rowdy, boisterous, crude. That's the party scene. You know, many people today are probably just waking up hungover from what they did last night. You know, and that's what our country lives for. Yeah, I can't wait for the weekend. I can go party up, get drunk, get wasted, have a crazy time, and wake up tomorrow and not even know what I did. That's the work of the flesh. That should never be a part of a Christian life. So these are ways that people live. And it says, and the like. I mean, this is not a complete list of the works of the flesh. I'm sure you could think of others. But these things, and the like, it says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the key here is the word practice. Because once again, like we talked about, we're all sinners. We probably may even struggle with some of this list we just talked about. But the practice, it's an ongoing habitual action. Is this your way of life? Now, those that don't know Christ or outside of Christ, this is their way of life. They live for these things. This is part of their life. There's no restraint there. You know, some people, they feel guilty when they do something, you know, but they don't have the Holy Spirit conviction like Christians have. If this is your way of life, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and wow, this is a really depressing sermon, right? But we get to the good part here, and I want to really focus on this. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, here we're contrasting, comparing two things, contrasting, telling how they're different. We looked at the works of the flesh. Those are things that should not be part of our life, but these are things that should be part of our life. The first is love. Love. Now, love is the supreme virtue in Christian living. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, but the greatest of these is love. We have to have love in our lives as Christians. You know, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. This is a must. We're going to walk according to the Spirit. You have to be a loving person. And this love, it's a personal choice. This is not feelings. You know, a lot of times we get confused about what love is. There are different words in the Bible for love, Usually when you hear love, you think about people all mushy and gushy and feelings toward each other, right? Ooh, you know, and they get all excited and, ooh, I'm in love and I feel good. Well, that's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about a decision here. A decision. Just like Christ loved the world, Christ loved us enough to die on the cross for us. That was a choice. He didn't feel warm and fuzzy about us. That wasn't his feeling. But he cared about us. And he sacrificed himself for us. So this love, it's a self-sacrificial love. It's willing to sacrifice myself for somebody else. And that doesn't mean just dying. We could sacrifice our time, our talents, energies, monies, whatever we have, we can sacrifice for other people because we love them. When we walk in the Spirit, that's what we do. We look to love people, to love others, even those that are unlovely. Because if you think, you might look in the mirror and think, I'm a lovable person, right? You know, and when I was growing up in school, they had us do that. We had to look in the mirror and say, I am lovable and capable, you know, because we had to have good self-esteem, right? Well, no, I already love myself enough. I didn't have to do that. But you got to realize when God looks at you, he doesn't say, wow, I had to die for him because he's so awesome. No, God loved us anyway. Because he sees our sin and all these different things, but yet he came and died on that cross for us. But now when he sees us, he sees Christ's blood covering us. He sees us as pure now. But he loved us, not because we are lovely, because he chose to. So this love is the key to every other part of this fruit of the Spirit. You have to love. You have to love. And then after love, we have joy. Love and then joy. It's a deep down sense of well-being that you know all is well between yourself and the Lord. Not only when things are going well, but in difficult times too. Joy. You know, sometimes as Christians, we could be very not joyful, right? Yeah, we come to church, you know. We look all sad, we look all grumpy, you know, frumpy, or whatever you want to call it. We just don't look happy. I mean, I'm not saying you have to walk around with a big permagrin on your face all the time, but as a Christian, should we be joyful and happy? We should, because we have eternal life in heaven awaiting us. It doesn't matter what's happening to us on this earth. We know we're going to be in heaven one day with our Lord. And it's better than anything we have here. Anything. No matter what you think of here on this earth, it cannot compare to heaven. So we have that joy. When you're going through a tough day, you know what? Smile and think about all the good things God has given you. Have that joy, and that joy will be able to help others. Because if you're able to be joyful when you're having a tough day, what is that going to say to someone else? And they're like, wow, I know what they're going through. I'm not even going through anything like them, and they're still joyful in the Lord. You're going to be a testimony to them of God's goodness. We have to have this joy in our lives, and this could only come from the Spirit. Only the Spirit. We can't produce this on our own, but it's through the Spirit that we can have this joy. After joy, we have peace. This refers to tranquility of mind that comes from your relationship to God. We have peace with God when we're walking with him. You know, like we talked about, when we're in that sin, that uncleanness that separates us from God, you know, from his fellowship. Well, this peace, when we're walking with God, we have that peace because we know we're right with God. We know that we're walking with him. And we can have that peace of mind. You know, and the Bible talks about in Philippians 4, when you turn everything over to God by prayer, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be upon you, right? And we'll have that peace from God. We need to make sure that we are right with him to have this peace. Long suffering. Now, this is a nice word for patience. Enduring injuries inflicted by others. The calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating or painful. You know, we talked about those outbursts of wrath, you know, those outbursts that come. This is the opposite here. Long-suffering. We need to have a long fuse. You know, you light that fuse, you shouldn't blow up immediately. You should be the kind of person that you can take when someone does wrong toward you. You can, endure these injuries, these inflictions. Or maybe an irritating situation. Sometimes some of us, we get, you know, someone irritates us, we just blow up. I can't handle it, right? That's not the fruit of the Spirit. We need to have this long-suffering. And the Bible also talks about, in 1 Corinthians 13, love is also long-suffering. You see how love is the key to all these? When you love others, you will be long-suffering. You care about them. When we're not long-suffering, why is that? Because we're selfish. Someone's irritating me. Someone's wasting my time. Someone did this to me. When we get our eyes on ourselves, guess what? Those works of the flesh, they're coming back. Full force. We're not following, we're not following the Spirit. We focus on ourselves and our flesh, our desires, we're going to be right back in that sin. We got to focus on the Lord and the Holy Spirit and what He wants us to do. Kindness, you know, tender concern for others. Sometimes, you know, as Christians, we forget about this. We should be kind to one another, you know. How many times do we walk by people and not even say hi sometimes, you know? And I'm guilty of this sometimes. I get so focused on what I got to do. I could walk right by someone and forget they're standing right there. I should talk to them, you know. Kindness, that's important. We need to be kind. Do something nice for somebody. You know, think about ways that you can show kindness to others. Because when people are kind to you, I'm going to guess that you think, hey, that was nice. That person said hi, or they asked how I was doing. Maybe you're new here. Hey, they remembered my name. Wow. That's impressive, right? You know, kindness, things that you can do to show concern for others. And then we get into the next one is goodness. Goodness. This is moral and spiritual excellence. It's known by its sweetness and kindness. You know, do you do what is good? What is right? Are you known? Is your reputation known for someone that does good? You know, that's what we should have in our lives. And then faithfulness, loyalty, trustworthiness. Are you a faithful person? When people give you a job, it's getting done. I trust them. You know, are we faithful to everything that we get? This is something that we need the Spirit for. Because in our own strength, once again, we will fail. But with the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, we can do all of these things. We can be faithful, loyal people, trustworthy. People will know, you know what, I know them. I could trust them to watch my children. I could trust them to do this job. I could trust them to teach this class. Because they know that you are a follower of God, that you are led by the Holy Spirit. We need this as part of our life. After faithfulness, in verse 23, gentleness. Another term for gentleness you may have heard is meekness. It's the humble and gentle attitude that is patiently submissive in every offense while being free of any desire for revenge or retribution. You know, are you the humble person that can, you could have a position, but you can patiently be submissive at times, you know, under every offense? When people come at you strong, you don't fire back at them. You know, when someone yells at you, you don't yell at them. You wait. You listen. You're meek. You're gentle with them. And you don't have a desire to get back at them. You don't have a desire for revenge. When someone comes to you, you're very patient and humble with them, meek, gentle. You handle people in a way that calms them. Because if you ever had someone yell at you and you've yelled back at them, do they usually just stop? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. No, that usually doesn't happen, right? Usually they want to yell louder, you want to yell louder, and you have a yelling match. That's no fun. You know, no one really wins in those things. But you can just calm it and handle it gently. And that's what the Bible wants us to do, handle things peacefully. And our ultimate example, Jesus Christ. I mean, think about all that He went through when He died on that cross, leading up to that point when He died on that cross. He didn't fight back. He didn't yell back. He took everything humbly, gently, meekly. He loved others. He knew what He was doing. He had a plan. God had a plan, and He followed that plan. We need to have a plan in our lives, too, to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. And then after gentleness is self-control, restraining passions and appetites. This is hard sometimes, having self-control. You know, I teach here in the school, and we always talk to the children. You got to have self-control. You know, maybe you like to talk a lot in class. You got to have self-control not to talk. Or, you know, you like to, on the playground, you like to play rough. Some kids love playing rough. You know, they like to pretend fight and do all these ninja moves. You know what happens? They wind up hitting each other on accident. And they got to have self-control out there. Well, as adults, we have to have self-control too. There are areas in our lives we don't have self-control in. You know, maybe you don't have self-control when it comes to food. You can't leave the dessert alone, right? You know, you go to a buffet, they got to kick you out. You can't control yourself. You know, maybe it's not that extreme, but you understand what I'm saying. But we could also not have self-control in other areas. Maybe with our entertainment. We start watching TV and all of a sudden, before you know, I've been watching TV for 3 hours straight. I haven't done anything. And we get caught up on that. You know, guys, sometimes we get really involved in sports. And, you know, we watch sports, we go to sporting events, and we get really caught up in sports. And we don't have self-control when it comes to managing our time. We have to be careful in this area, self-control. You know, do we have ways to control ourselves in these areas? So we lead to all these things, and he says, against such there is no law. You know what's amazing? If we lived, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law that could stand against us, because we'd always be doing right. And do you realize that we have the ability to do it through the Holy Spirit? No matter what sin, temptation comes your way, God has given you the power to overcome that. He's given you a way out all times. But you know why we don't always take that way out? We don't focus on the Lord. We're not being led by the Spirit. Instead of playing follow the leader and following the Spirit, we decide, I want to be the leader. I want everyone to follow me. And we start doing our own thing. Instead of walking the path we should go, we decide, I'm going to go over here and do my thing. You know, and I'm going to be honest, I've never sinned when I was thinking about how great God is and how good Jesus is to me. I've never committed a sin when I was doing that. Never happened. Usually when I commit sin, you know what? I put God out of my mind and I think about, oh, this isn't so bad. Oh, this is fun. I really want to do this. It will please me. And I'm sure you're the same as I am. When you're focused on Christ, on following the Holy Spirit's leading, you aren't sinning. It's when we take our eyes off of God, take our eyes off of Christ and what he's done for us. We get involved in these sins. We start justifying things, saying, well, it's not so bad. So-and-so does it. Or I'm doing better than this guy. Remember, we can't put our eyes on other people. We got to have our eyes on Christ, on the fruit of the Spirit. This is what he wants us to do. Verse 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For Christ, that means if you're a Christian today, you should have crucified that old way. You know, put it to death. It's something that we need to put out of us, that we shouldn't have as part of us anymore. Now, it's not going to be dead and gone, because we still struggle with sin, don't we? I wish we didn't, but the Lord left us with this, and I think it's so we could depend on him. We can trust in him even more, because we'd be very self-sufficient. All of a sudden, you couldn't sin. We really have to follow God's leading. The flesh, it shouldn't rule over us anymore. It doesn't have the power to control us, because God's given us that way out. And there's another example here. Sorry, people, but chicken. What happens when you cut the head off a chicken? Well, the nerves and stuff, the body's still running around, still twitching around and moving, right? Well, that's kind of like what our flesh is like. It's the head's been cut off. The power, you know, we can't be taken to hell. Its power is gone from us if we are saved in Christ. But yet, just like those nerves in the chicken are still moving it around, we still have that flesh inside of us that at times it can get us. It's moving around. And we can follow that flesh. It's still kind of alive in us, but it's going to die. One day we will be free of that sin when we're in heaven. But the death blow has been given to the chicken. The death blow has been given to our flesh. We need to put it away. It needs to be crucified. When Christ died on that cross for us, he took all our sin away. That's what he did for us. He took the penalty of sin from us. But each day we still have to battle against it. We still have to do the battle. Verse 25 is a great verse here. You know, this is the conquest. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And you might think, wow, that's great. Let's do that. Well, let's get a little practical. What does that mean? How can we apply this to our lives? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, we're a saved Christian. We have to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Well, how can we know the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I just read it to you from the Bible. And this is a very simple thing that we tell children. You need to read the Bible and pray. Okay? And it's true. You need to read your Bible. How are you going to grow in the Spirit and feed God? You know, feed the godly part of you, the Holy Spirit. You got to read God's Word. This is our spiritual food. You have to be in God's Word, studying God's Word, learning God's Word, if you're going to change. That's how we have to do it. We have to be in God's Word, you know. And, I mean, think about this. You know, we talked about a war. You know, back in the old times, they had gladiators, right, that would fight. Now, do you think the people that owned the gladiators, they made money off these guys, right? So do you think they just malnourished them and you know, didn't let them sleep and punished them and tortured them and then threw them out there and hoping they'd win? No, they're good fighters. They fed them. They made sure they were ready to fight. They trained them. They gave them the good weapons because they wanted them to be victorious. Well, God wants us to be victorious over our flesh. In order to be victorious, we have to give our spiritual selves the food that it needs, the spiritual food. We have to be in God's Word, studying God's Word. Then we also have to pray. Because in your own strength, you can't do this. God is all-powerful. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to pray and ask God to give us that power. Ask God to help us follow His Spirit. And you know what? It doesn't stop there. Because it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we talked about walking earlier. This is your way of life. This is doing what the Bible says. This is the hard part. I'm sure we can all find time to read God's Word. We can even find time to pray. But living for God, that's the hard part. Because that's daily, moment by moment, deciding, I'm going to follow God right now. Each moment we are living, we're not taking our eyes off of the prize, off of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to walk in the Spirit. We know what these fruit of the Spirit are. We need to put them into practice. So each one of us, you know, I challenge you today to look at your life. Find areas that you know you are weak and pray for them. Study verses on those sins, those areas that you struggle with. And if for some reason I can't think of any area that I struggle. Okay, you might want to ask someone that knows you well, but I'll give you one. You might struggle with pride if you think that. But ask someone that knows you well, because we all struggle. We're all sinful human beings. We're not perfected. We will be one day in heaven, but not yet. So look at ways that you're weak and get help. Maybe you need to get accountability from someone, you know, that can keep you accountable. But like I said, study verses, look up verses on the area, memorize the word, and then put it into practice. You know, if you struggle with being kind to others, hey, today I'm going to be kind to so-and-so. I'm going to go and do this. Give yourself an assignment. Do it. You know, and think about ways that you can put these things into practice. What's a way that I can love somebody today? Make it real. Put a practical goal. Put a name on it. I'm going to do this to this person today. And that will help you. Maybe you struggle with loving somebody because maybe they irritate you. Maybe they rub you the wrong way. You know what? Go do something nice for them today. Get down on your knees and pray for them. And then pray that the Lord will use you. And guess what? He'll change your mind. He'll help you. Because Christ loved us. We are the unlovely. We all turned our backs from Him. We sinned. We turned our backs from God, but yet He loved us anyway. And that's what He calls us to do. So we need to practice what we learn today. So today's lesson, we learn about this spiritual battle that we're in. We need to walk in the Spirit. You look back at verse 16 once again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This doesn't come by making a checklist. This is just living for the Lord. When you live for the Lord, guess what? Sin will be less prevalent in your life. And the more and more you live for God, the less and less you will sin. It's a simple lesson today, but doing it, that's the key. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's pray.